Dr. Coogan serves on the editorial board of the Maternal and Child Health Journal, or MCHJ, and has served in that capacity for AJPH. He has been a special editor for pediatrics and MCHJ. He has held adjunct academic appointments at various universities over the course of his career. He has published over 100 articles and book chapters on numerous topics in pediatric and perinatal epidemiology. He received his doctorate in epidemiology from Yale. So I invite Dr. Coogan to come up.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for coming on the last day to the first session of the day. So, first I'd like to thank my two stellar co-authors, Dr. Reem Gandur, Dr. Ashley Harai, who's in the audience. All right, that's one round of applause for you and none for me so far. Okay, I received a large bribe from Blue Cross Blue Shield. I think it was $100,000. Other than that, I have no financial relationships to disclose about this presentation. So I'm talking about trends in children's health insurance from 2003 to 2011-12. Now, why would we look at that? Well, the first thing we want to look at is that there have been many changes in how we deliver health insurance for children during that time. For example, the percent of employers offering coverage to workers has declined since 2000. The percent of Americans who receive coverage through private purchase has also declined. And the Children's Health Insurance Program started in 1997 and was reauthorized in 2009. And in addition, with the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, there's also been more expansions in Medicaid. So we've had tremendous changes. So why should we care? Well, we know from other research that children receiving public health insurance have less access to needed providers, and they're less likely to have a medical home. On the other hand, kids who have private insurance, well, private insurance is often less generous with respect to coverage of emotional and behavioral conditions. So it's important to look at what's happening to children in the country. We looked at three research questions for our study. First, what are the temporal trends in health insurance coverage for children from 2003 to 2012? Second, which groups are more likely to have changed types of coverage or coverage status over the time period? And third, which groups are more likely to lose private insurance, gain public insurance, and become insured overall? So I'm going to respond to each of these research questions. Our data sources, we used two national surveys, the 2003 and 2011-2012 National Surveys of Children's Health. They are sponsored by our organization, the Maternal and Child Health Bureau. They were carried out by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, National Center for Health Statistics. The 2003 survey was a landline survey. 2011-2012, because of changes in people's telephone coverage, was both a landline and a cell phone survey. They are the largest studies of their kind in children's health in the country. The 2003 survey had over 100,000 kids, and the 2011-12 survey had about 95,000. What's unique about the surveys is not only are they nationally representative, they're also state representative as well. So these studies have been used extensively by all states for policy and program. So the first question, as I mentioned, what are the temporal trends in health insurance coverage for children from 2003 to 2012? Here we see that two pie charts on health insurance status comparing well, basically a decade of time in between them. And the first thing that jumps out is the large increase in the percent of kids covered by public insurance. It's over a 33% increase in just 9-10 years. Second thing you notice is that there's been a decline. The good news is there's been a decline in the percent of kids who were uninsured, going from 8.8% in 2003 to 5.6% in 2011-12. Now, we also looked at kids with special health care needs. Why do we do that? Well, there are about 16% of kids in the U.S. have special needs. However, they account for about 50% of all medical expenditures for children in the U.S. So it's important to look at this group as well. And what you see here is that compared to kids without special needs, kids with special needs were more likely to have public insurance in 2003 and 2011-12, but there was also a similar increase. Here, a 10% increase. Almost half of kids with special needs were on public insurance by 2011-12. And they were less likely to be uninsured both years than kids without special needs. So we want to look at this adjusting for a number of covariates: child sex, age, race, ethnicity, poverty, household language, family structure, special needs status and type, and rural-urban location. So let me show you the results. So we compare the unadjusted and adjusted, first the risk differences, and then the relative risk. Looking at the unadjusted, in the first column, the unadjusted risk differences. That's basically what you saw in the pie charts. You saw that there was a 6% decline in the percent of kids who had private insurance, over a 9% increase in the percent of kids who had public insurance. Now, when you take into account all those factors, looking at the second column, can you still hear me in the back? Okay. What you see here is that there's, once you take all those factors into account, you've decreased the differences. But what's interesting about that second column is the increase in public insurance is driven almost equally by a decrease in percent of kids without insurance and an increase or a decrease in the percent of kids who have private insurance. If you look at the next column on unadjusted relative risk, what that tells you is between 2011-12, kids were 90% as likely to have private insurance in 2011-12 as they were in 2003. And you see that kids in 2011-12 were 34% more likely to be on public insurance in 2011-12 compared to 2003. Again, when you adjust for all the factors, it reduces the odds for private insurance and public insurance, but increases them for uninsurance. So taking all those factors into account, in 2011-12, kids were still 26% more likely to be on public insurance compared to 10 years earlier. But they were only 59% as likely to be uninsured, which is great news. So I tried to start with the good news, Brett. Lesson learned, one of the few in my life. Okay, the second question we wanted to look at. Now, once we've established that, the question is, which groups are more likely to have changed types of coverage over this time period? Do you want to make any guesses about that? I'm happy to make this an interactive presentation. Any thoughts about that? Who do you think was more likely? Well, that's a good question. In the survey, we only have, because there are different programs, or programs are called something different in every state, we ask people, do you have public or private insurance? Because they may not know the name of the program. So we couldn't break it down by whether you're in CHIP or Medicaid. So any guesses? Or do you just want me to go right to the next slide? Right to the next slide? Okay. Okay, the numbers highlighted in red show where there's really a significant difference statistically. And what you see here is that kids at the lowest FPL is household poverty level. And what you see here is kids and families at the lowest levels were more likely to lose private insurance and move on to public insurance. What you see here, which is interesting, in even middle class families going from 200 to 400% of poverty were significantly more likely to be moving on to public insurance. And that compares to a study that was done by DeVoe showing that middle class families, it's similar to the findings of DeVoe showing that middle class families were more likely to be moved onto public insurance. And for those of 400% at the family poverty level, of course there are very few. In 2003, there are even less in 2012. And then we looked at type of special needs. Now, what do you see here? Are people familiar with how you screen in for special needs? It's a screener. There are five questions about elevated use of services, a prescription. They ask about conditions that have existed for a year or more. So we're looking for kids who might have been considered to have chronic conditions in the past, and now we term them special needs. So what you see here is that if you look at prescription drug use need only, those are kids whose our research has shown their conditions might be less severe. Where you see the most severe conditions are kids who have elevated service use or needs and prescription drug use. And in this group, they had a major drop in who was on private insurance. So the group with the highest level of need had the biggest drop in this group, going from 62% down to 52% on private insurance. We did adjusted prevalence rate ratios for type of insurance comparing these two time periods, and here we highlight in red those that were significantly different than the total. So when you do all the adjustments, you see those at less than 100% of poverty and 100 to 200% of poverty were significantly less likely to had a bigger drop in private insurance than overall. And the same holds true, again, for this group with kids with the greatest needs. And for those who had the biggest increase, a bigger increase overall for public insurance compared to overall was those children of Hispanic ethnicity, I'll call them middle class children, and households where English was not the primary household language. So the final research question is, which groups were more likely to lose private insurance, gain public insurance, and become insured overall? Here we used adjusted risk differences, and what you see in this slide is that if, for example, you look at Hispanics, there was a 10% increase for public insurance for those children of Hispanic origin, but you see about half came from
losing private insurance, and a little over half came from moving from uninsured to insured. You see a similar pattern for those at 100% of less than 100% of the family poverty level, whereas you see for those at slightly higher income levels, more of the increase in public insurance came from them losing private insurance.
Whereas for other household language, while there was almost a 12% increase in moving on to public insurance, most of that came from those who were uninsured and earlier. And if you look at elevated service use, there was almost a 9% increase. Elevated service use plus prescription drug use. The most affected kids,
the vast majority, most of that increase came from kids moving off private insurance to public insurance.
So in summary, what we see is there's a market shift between public insurance towards public insurance and a notable decrease in uninsured children. Younger, minority, lower income, and children with greater health care needs were the most likely groups to lose their private coverage. Whereas children of Hispanic origin, non-English is the primary language, and lower income children were most likely to gain public insurance. And finally, older, Hispanic, low income, and children with fewer health needs were more likely to become insured. As with any study, there are limitations. Ours are, of course, we're not following the same kids over time. This is 2 points in time, 2 cross-sectional surveys, and this is parent-reported data, so we couldn't verify it against medical records. So thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
All right, at this point, I'd like to ask our presenters to come up. We're going to open it up to questions and answers, but before we do, I wanted to just kind of summarize this session a little bit, if possible. Some things that I took from this personally went in this pattern, and I'd be interested to hear your thoughts collectively as well as your individual questions to our panel members. First of all, Lindsay described a really interesting example of local policy, and that being bring your infant to work, the successes with that particular policy change, and even early practice changes in a pilot study to make sure that it was good for the environment. Tamara then took us in a direction that looked across the system, particularly the health department system, to identify what factors led to successes or the cause of deviance. What were these champions? What did they look like? What did they do to instill some change through their practices as well as policies? Then our last presenter, Michael, described perhaps some of those factors that we need to be mindful of. And usually we are, but maybe we control for them and not pay a lot of attention to them. And that would be particularly the insurance and particularly the changes over time for specific populations. So some of these policy changes that have been described today, local, so the little p as well as the big P, may or may not work great among certain populations. We need to be mindful of those factors. And then finally, I work in Brent's presentation, which is how do we get there in the first place, right? If we want to develop these policies, it takes some time, it takes some skill, it takes some training. And so I think that it was very helpful to go through that process of recommendations of how to get all this started. We see some great examples here today. And if you're wanting to do this in your own environment, how do you go about doing that? So I really appreciate our presenters this morning. And at this point in time, I'll open it up to questions.